took my cape off. You didn't notice I took my cape off. I might have lost all my power with that cape. Every year, several radio stations across the nation begin to play nothing but Christmas music. They change out their regular schedule for Christmas music. And I think they start somewhere around mid-August. Okay, somewhere around Thanksgiving. But, you know, some of them even actually do some music about Christ. I know, it's surprising for a radio station to do anything that has anything to do with Christ, but they actually do. One of the most popular songs you might have heard on the radio is Mary, Did You Know? And if you have not heard it or you don't recall hearing it, let me give you some background on it. The idea of the song is that somebody is asking Mary, the mother of the Lord, if she knew what was going to become of her son. And they ask things like, did you, you know, they want to know, at the time of Jesus' birth, did you know what he was going to do later in life? And the song kind of goes like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on Okay, before I blister this song terribly, it's a beautiful song. Much better with Lee singing it. The song uses this poetic device of addressing Mary and asking her about her baby to highlight what Christ, the Christ child, would go on to do and the reason why he came to begin with. But the song stands, as it stands, it raises up some questions of what Mary actually did know at the time when Jesus was born. What did Mary know? And when did she know it? And that's where our text comes in today. And we find this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, which Connor read to you earlier. This text tells us what Mary actually knew. And from the time that it was announced that she was going to have this baby by the angel, what she knew about this Christ child. And with that, we're able to answer the song question and maybe even answer some other questions that we might have in our own hearts. So we're going to find out, Mary, what did you know? This portion of Luke 1 is the account of the announcement of the incarnation. It took place 9 months before Christ was born, and the angel Gabriel came to announce to Mary what was going to take place. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin named engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That phrase, in the sixth month, it is actually referring to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And she's pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary is betrothed to this man named Joseph, and that means that they've not yet consummated their marriage. She is a virgin. And the text also gives reference to the house of David. David was Israel's greatest king, and that was 1,000 years prior to this date. He is the one whom the promised Messiah had been made to, and the one that would bring out this line for this great end of times deliverer king, he would come from this house of David. The angel Gabriel came from heaven, and he addresses to this humble virgin these words, greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Isn't that a lovely greeting? It's good to know that the Lord is with us, especially if an angel appears just out of nowhere. I mean, kind of, isn't it? Don't you think that you'd be a bit frightened had he had not been so kind in his greeting? Maybe you'd still be frightened anyhow. Indeed, whenever any angels appeared in Scripture, people were scared, and it was a scary thing. Us humans, we just kind of need to calm on ourselves down. We tend to overreact. Dare I might say, we freak out at things. really easily. So Mary is no different. An angel appears, and the Bible tells us that she was greatly troubled. She does not understand what's going on, and she doesn't know what to make of this. So the angel reassures her in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, I would venture to guess that this must have calmed Mary right on down. Could you imagine? An angel of the Lord appears just out of nowhere and then tells you that you have favor with God. That just must have taken her breath away. And it's good to know that. And this is the first thing that Mary does know for sure. She knows that the Lord is with her and that she has found favor with God. Mary is going to need those comforting words, because now the angel Gabriel gets to the big news. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, that statement in itself actually may not be big news, because you see, she was engaged. She was going to get married. There's a 50-50 chance she would have a son. And this name Jesus is very common in these days, so the fact that she was going to name him Jesus, okay. So maybe the statement in and by itself is not big news. But wait, there's more. The angel continues, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now that is really big news. This son that Mary will bear, this son named Jesus, will be the Son of the Most High God. Whoa. I mean, how can that be? And what's more, he's going to be king. And not just any king, he is going to be the king, the great messianic king coming out of the line of David, the promised end-time deliverer sent by God who will usher in this everlasting kingdom. And trust me, you cannot get any bigger than news like that. But wait a minute. Mary's now thinking, how am I supposed to give birth to a son? I'm not even married yet, and Mr. Angel, you're sounding like this is going to happen right away. I don't know. Now I'm freaking. But Mary responds in verse, she actually responds in verse 34. "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" If what Mary had been told just a few minutes earlier was not amazing enough and astounding enough, the angel Gabriel increases the wonderment in verse 35 when the angel asked her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Now that is breathtaking. I think Mary, she had to have had goosebumps all over her. Maybe the hair on the back of her neck just stood up. Has God ever spoke to you in such a way that you just got chills? Or something occurred and you felt that goosebumps, you know, that hair standing on end? "This child shall be called the Son of God." No doubt about it, this was going to be the most unique birth in all of the history of the universe, and the most unique child will be born. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of this Virgin Mary, just like the creed says, true God and true man in this one person called Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, to be born in human flesh. Well, the angel said it, so this too Mary knew. The text does not say this, but I would think that Mary had to have started to cry. She just had to have cried at this wonderful thought. I mean, as you read it, I get overwhelmed just thinking about this young girl standing there and been given this information that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her and that the power of the Most High is going to overshadow her. And then the angel goes on in verse 36, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. Now, the angel here is kind of like saying, in case you doubt, if God can cause this barren old woman Elizabeth to get pregnant, then he can do this in a young virgin woman. But here in verse 37, Gabriel wraps everything up in this really nice bow for Mary. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let's sit on that for a moment. Because I think this part of the story is huge. Nothing will be impossible with God. What are you in need of? Do you have cancer, diabetes, eye problems, a hiatal hernia, asthma, headaches, back problems, ulcers, weak legs, crossed eyes, kidney stones, heart problems, dyslexia, lumps, bumps, kidney stones, heart problems? I said that already. Addison's disease, Parkinson's disease. Are you barren? Well, God, let's hope so. Hay fever, epilepsy, female problems, gout, bladder infections, financial difficulties. Are you burdened? Have you ever just put any of those problems in this category called impossible? Impossible for God or impossible for man? Nothing is impossible for God. What is the world telling you that is making you doubt in God's perfect healing? Has the power of God ever done anything in your life that you can remember? Because God's not done with any of us yet. Do you believe it? Can you believe it? God has the power to do anything. Beyond our own experience, the Bible contains account after account of men and women healed instantly and completely by the touch and the word of Jesus. He accomplished miracles that could not be replicated by anyone. Even modern day medical science cannot do what Jesus has done. If Jesus can improve this sight of a middle-aged woman or restore the body parts of a leopard with one single little touch and speak to a raging storm and immediately it stills, what else can he do? What can he do in your life? He can repair broken relationships. He can give you superhuman emotional strength to endure the most impossible situations. He can break the laws of nature, gravity, and forward motion to move physics in the way he needs it to do to protect you. He can reorient your mindset to release incorrect worldviews that you've clung to for your entire life. He can break chains of addiction and bad habits and behavior patterns that have kept you prisoner for a very long time. He can release you from a lifelong fears and phobias and anxieties. He can free you from the grip and guilt, and he can forgive you for anything that you've done against him and anything you're going to do against him. He can take away your sorrow and he can bring you joy. Yes, yes, he can. And he can do way more than this, because nothing will be impossible with God. Lee and I bought a house in 1988. It was a brand spanking new house. Nobody had ever lived in it. And we loved our house. About a year and probably 2 days. It was just over a year. Our heater broke. Yes, past the warranty by a few days, maybe a month, who knows. But just past the warranty and it breaks. Lee and I have no money because we spent all our money buying this brand spanking new house. And we couldn't call a repairman. And the house was getting colder and colder and colder. And it was dead in winter. Well, they come home from work, and we were sitting at the dinner table, and he went to say grace. And he said, Lord God, we have no money, fix our heater. Maybe not those exact words. And I swear, within just a few minutes of saying that prayer, that heater kicked on. 20 years later, when everybody was replacing their heaters, ours continued to work. And we sold our house 2 years ago, and it was working when we sold our house. Nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. He has the power to do anything. It may not be instantaneous like the heater. It may be a series of very small miracles, a cluster that's embedded in his time of, you know, his choosing. So I just say, seek him with everything you have in your heart. Cry out to him. Relinquish your ways and submit yourself to following him on his terms, not yours. Immerse yourself in prayer and know that word and trust in that word, because that word is his word. Trust in his love that he has for you. Never give up hope. His intentions are for the best for you. And there is no greater proof than that baby lying in a manger. So Mary, what did you know? You know that the Lord is with you and his favor is upon you. You know that you will conceive a child as a virgin, and it will be by the Holy Spirit. And you will name this child Jesus. You know that this son will be no ordinary child. He will be the very Son of God, born in human flesh, along with your own flesh and blood. And you know that this boy will be king, the great messianic king. King through the line of David. Mary, did you know all this? Yes, yes you did. Because the angel told you so. We got proof right here in our scripture. But did you know that this baby came to make us new creatures in him? When you think about the words of those songs, this child you delivered will soon deliver you. Do you know what that means? The angel told Mary who he will be and who he is. But as Mary is holding this tiny, vulnerable baby in her arms, the baby who she just delivered, I don't think Mary realized that this baby was the Savior that was going to deliver her. Because knowing and knowing are two entirely different things. I think about the words and how deep they are, and I don't think any single one of us could truly wrap our minds around that. My daughter told me she was getting a promotion and she was going to move to Washington. And last May, even though I knew it, she moved to Washington. And it wasn't until Lee and I drove 14 hours to Washington that it became a reality that she is in Washington. If you've ever had a child and you can think back to that experience of expecting your first child, you knew you were having a baby. You knew this baby was forming in your womb or your wife's womb. But did you know what it's going to be like that first time you held that baby? You couldn't even imagine it. I know this. I don't think Mary knew this, how it was going to affect her entire life and what was going to happen. This baby that she was carrying, I don't think she could understand the magnitude of what has been told to her at that moment. This baby born of the Virgin came to deliver us. The baby born in the manger is the great I Am. So the bigger question is not, Mary, what did you know? It's, what do you believe? Mary answered this question with confidence in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That is none other than faith speaking. Faith generated by the same Holy Spirit working through the word of God. And Mary believes. And perhaps this is the greatest miracle of the entire story. With God, nothing is impossible, even faith to believe the impossible. There's a story in the Bible, and I absolutely love this story. It's the story of the man whose son kept throwing himself into the water or into the fire. And the disciples could not bring healing on this boy. And Jesus comes down the mountain. He had just been on the mountain of transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they come down, and Jesus sees everything that's going on. And there's a big ruckus about this whole thing. And he inquires. He turns to the Father, and he says in Mark 9:21, Jesus asks the boy's father, "How long has this been like this?" "From childhood," he answers, "it has often thrown him into the fire and the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Catch what Jesus says in the very next verse in 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. If you can, everything is possible for those who believe. And this is my favorite part right here. The Father's response, it's epic. In verse 24, immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe, help my unbelief." The Common English Bible says this, "And at that, the boy's father cried out, 'I have faith, help my lack of faith.'" Don't you just love it? Because we believe and we have disbelief. We have faith and we lack in our faith. Speaking of that, beloved, what do you know? What do you believe? Do you know that this baby Jesus was born for you? Yes, you. He came to be your Savior just as he came to save Mary and all of us sinners who need a Savior. This messianic king would bring in the kingdom of grace and blessing precisely by being born in the flesh. To quote another song, "What if God was one of us?" Well, this is exactly what happened. The person of this baby born of Mary is Jesus Christ. Jesus kept the laws that we cannot keep. He fulfilled God's law for us, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross, paying the price that needed to be paid in our place as our substitute. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, the sign read hanging over his head as he suffers and dies for all of us. And because he is the Holy God, death cannot hold him. Jesus rises from the dead, guaranteeing all who trust in him will also likewise raise from the dead and live forever in his kingdom. Now, did Mary know all of this in detail at this point? No. No, she could not possibly, but she would. I think that Mary knew that this baby was going to be a very special baby, a baby of God, but I do not think she knew exactly what Jesus would become. She may have had a hint of this special future, but then again, I don't think she could fully comprehend the reality of the Creator creating himself in the form of a human and then becoming the life-transforming Redeemer who works in the hearts of people and in their souls. Because I don't think that you and I completely understand it. The reality of our Creator recreating himself in the form of a human. But that's where faith steps in. And we are at peace knowing that we don't have to have everything in order and know all of the things for his redeeming work of grace to take hold of us. I do not think that Mary knew at the end of Jesus' birth. I don't even think she comprehended it all during his ministry on earth. Maybe she believed at the end when she watched her boy hang there. I definitely know that she would feel that sword piercing her own heart one day while she watched her son being rejected and crucified. And at this point, though, there's a beautiful baby lying in a manger. Regardless of what she knew, Jesus would soon grow into in his ministry. She does know that her son will bear, that she will bear, will be the Son of God, the Messiah. How that would play out, she would find out later. But what she knows is enough for now. God gives her the grace to believe it. And that is what God does for you and me, my friends. You see, God usually only gives us a little tiny piece of the picture at a time. Because that's just how God rolls. That's how faith rolls too. Because we take it a little bit at a time by faith, trusting in him, following him. He tells us what we need to know, when we need to know it, and he tells us about who Jesus is and how he's going to care for us. But here's the deal. He's not going to force us to receive anything, to believe anything, because it's always our choice. It's your choice to accept and to believe Jesus into your own individual hearts. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mary, did you know? Did you believe? Regardless of what you knew, she said yes.